Today is about five people being baptized, and so we're going to ask them to come forward shortly. But before we do that, I just want to share with you a passage of scripture. So in Luke chapter 3, if you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 2. I just want to share a few thoughts before our folks come forward, and they're all going to have the opportunity to share why it is that they've been baptized this morning. And I think that's great, and we'll look forward to hearing from you. Luke chapter 3, reading from verse 2. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough way smooth, and all people will see God's salvation." John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you're required to," he told them. And then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" And he replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly, and all were wondering in their hearts if John possibly might be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all, and he locked John up in prison. And here's almost a postscript that we forget. When all the people had been baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And he was praying, as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Just two simple questions this morning. One is, who should be baptized? And secondly, what is baptism? The second question is a particularly interesting question, isn't it? Because from the outside looking in, people will see us this morning gathering around in a public place where we take people, we hold them underwater, hopefully momentarily only, and then we bring them out again, and they think, well, what's that all about? I remember this must have been going through people's mind more than 10 years ago when I organised a baptismal service when we were still in the Whit Sundays. Unfortunately, I had my tide times out by 6 hours, so when I thought it was high tide, it was actually low tide, and it was quite unusual, I think, for people to see a whole mob of people walking out across the mudflats out to the water, which was nearly a kilometre away, walking past signs that say, "Estuarine crocodiles inhabit this area." Very, very weird. So from the outside looking in, it must seem weird to people. So two questions: what is baptism and who should be baptized? To answer those questions, we should listen to John, who is probably the authority on baptism. John was the cousin of Jesus, and they called him John the Baptist. To baptize someone, the verb to baptize comes from the word baptizo or baptizing, which was a common Greek word which means to dip, as in dipping your paintbrush in paint, or to dunk, which means from dunking your cookie in your tea, hopefully retrieving most of it. Let's not push that analogy too far either. So to dip or to dunk, or it was also the word for the sinking of a ship. So the dipper, the dunker, the sink shipper are the labels that they gave to this man John, whom they thought was the most unusual sight that they had ever seen. This man dressed like Tarzan, wearing animal skins, living out in the waterless wilderness where he hadn't seen a bathtub for years, let alone had a bath, and calling people to be baptized. John, for all intents and purposes, was nature boy who looked and sounded like he should have been locked away. But John was anything but crazy. John was a fearless proclaimer of the kingdom of God, calling people into the kingdom through repentance, and baptism was then a sign of that repentance and conversion, and a sign only. And there were two kinds of people that responded to John. There were the superficial people, and John called them snakes. You can always tell when the underbrush is on fire because the snakes slither out in self-preservation, and there were people who were coming out to be baptized in what was essentially self-preservation, fire insurance for the day of judgment. But then there were genuine people, and I want to say to you, the five people been baptized this morning are genuine people. They understood that John was calling them into the kingdom of God. They understood that John was calling them to a lifetime of discipleship following Jesus. And it's then that John, the dipper, the dunker, the ship sinker, took these people and plunged them into the Jordan River, which, by the way, was quite toxic at the time. It was quite fetid and toxic. And those people that John baptized stood with him. The water that we baptize you in today will not be fetid and toxic, as far as we know. I'm sure it's a lot cleaner. And those people that John baptized stood with him side by side in solidarity with his convictions. And there's two things that John had strong convictions about. The first was this, that false security is useless. False security is useless. There were people who came to John and said, look, we've got Abraham as our father. Wow. And John said, big deal. Effectively, John said, it doesn't matter that you're related to Abraham. What matters is that you get a sense of Abraham's faith. It would be like me saying to Jesus on that last day, you know, Jesus, great, great, great Auntie Vera was a missionary in Equatorial Guinea. And Jesus would say to me, but what about you? There were people who came to John and said, we are pious. They used their piety as a means. And John would say, well, it's all very well that you're particular and very accurate in your piety, but what use is piety if beneath the skin the heart is corrupt? There were people who came to John and said, but we are privileged. We belong to Israel. We have 1,000 years of tradition behind us. And John would say to them, well, what's the point of exchanging tradition for true intimacy? That's really like reading a book on marriage and then claiming that you're a married person. And so John would say, false security is no good. False security will not stand you instead on the day that you must stand before Jesus. The second conviction that John had was this, that confession must be backed up with genuine discipleship. And there were people who came to John and they said to him, well, John, if we're really repentant, what then must we do? And John said, well, let's ground this for you. You must then give to your neighbour. If you've got two shirts, give your neighbour one. If you've got food and your neighbour doesn't, then you give your neighbour food. This is a genuine sign of repentance. Tax collectors came to John and said, what must we do? And John said, well, stop extorting people. The soldiers came to John and said, what must we do? And John said to them, stop standing over people and using your power to belittle them and hold them in subjugation. See, John's conviction was this, that if you confess Jesus and you are genuinely repentant of your sin, which I believe our five candidates are, then that will result in true discipleship. The second thing I want to point out to you about this story, as I mentioned before, and it's almost a postscript, it's this, that Jesus himself was baptized. Not for the reasons that I've just outlined to you. Jesus was baptized for two reasons. First of all, he was baptized in obedience to God his Father. And in Matthew's Gospel it says this, when John came to baptize Jesus, John said, and Jesus requested that, John said, no, this is ridiculous. You need to baptize me. But Jesus said, no, let it happen now. And this is the old authorized version coming out of my brain. Let it happen now to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, Jesus is saying, I must be baptized to complete obedience to my Father. That was the first reason. The second reason that Jesus was baptized was this, that it was actually the inauguration of his ministry. Do you understand that? He was baptized, the Spirit of God came upon him, and from that point of time, he ministered. And I want to say to you, those five of you who have been baptized today, that you have a ministry. You have a ministry. This is not just about you being water baptized, this is about you being anointed by the Spirit of God so that the ministry that is particular to you, that is about who you are, how God has designed you, the gifts that he has given you, you have a ministry in the kingdom of God. You know what? I'm really excited about that. I think that is a tremendous thing. I'm an eternal optimist. I have to be. I own and drive a Land Rover. So I think the best is yet to come. And when I look at you young guys, you young people, I'm genuinely excited about what you can do in the kingdom of God to make a difference in this world. I really am. And I want to encourage you. And I want to challenge you. Many of you here weren't at the youth service that we had a couple of weeks ago. One of the things that we did was we had a 3-minute challenge. And there were three contestants. And the 3-minute challenge was this, that there were three objects. And one object was assigned to each person. And then that person had to think about that for 60 seconds and then preach on that for 3 minutes, if they could. So there was Shannon, and there was Mitch Mahaffey, and there was myself. Now, we'd been schooled up before, but I want to say to you that Shannon and Mitch were all over that competition like honey on toast. I mean, they nailed it. They had an object that they had to consider for a minute, and then they had to preach for 3 minutes. They did a great job. Me, I could barely speak for 2 minutes. Isn't that right? Mike's nodding his head. Yeah, I could barely speak for 2 minutes. So the trained professional who's meant to be able to do that stuff got upstaged by these young people who God used in that moment not just to complete a competition, but to actually speak into the hearts of people. You know what? I'm not threatened by that at all. I actually think that that is tremendously exciting, because there'll be a day when I will reach my use-by date. And we'll need you guys to continue the work of the kingdom of God. The baptism for Jesus was the inauguration of his ministry. And I want to say to you that that is true for you too. And I'll be praying for God's Spirit to come upon you to gift you, each one, with a ministry if that hasn't already happened. Well, that's enough from me. And I'm going to invite Nick to come up, and he's going to introduce our five baptismal candidates today. And then we're going to hear from them. We're going to sing maybe one or two songs. And then we're going to clean this place up, and we're going to go and baptize these folks.
Well, I just want to echo John's words this morning. And just to say to you, it's extremely exciting when people standing up and saying, I want to be obedient to Jesus by following him in the waters of baptism. I want to live for Jesus every day in my life. I want him to use me to bring glory to himself. And that's what we're going to hear this morning. That's what we're going to see from our five candidates this morning. Just a little bit of context. A few months ago, I was approached by some of the young people who said, we're interested to learn a bit more about baptism. And so, following their lead, which I believe was coming from the Holy Spirit, we set some classes and we spent a little bit of time looking at the scriptures, learning about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be water baptized, what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and what it means to live for Jesus as part of a local family community, which is what we're doing here. And you know, I give 100% to these guys because you know, some people probably could have done that in about half an hour. I chose to do it over 4 weeks, and they were dedicated and committed, along with Treen, who came along and joined us as well, which was terrific. And we worked through those aspects and very thoroughly. Also, John put the opportunity out there for other people to join us if anyone else was interested through going through the waters of baptism. And Danny put his hand up and said, I'm keen. And so John spent a little bit of time with him as well, just working through some of those ideas. And so we're utterly convinced that God has brought each one of you to this place today, that he's here by his Holy Spirit, that he's watching over you, and he is going to be working in and through you in what happens today. And we're excited here as a congregation to be with you. Now, what we're going to do here now is we're going to give each of you an opportunity to come up and share a little bit of testimony. We'll be here with you, and we'll be excited to hear about what God has been doing in your life and what's brought you to this place. Once you've finished, then we're going to pray for you, and we have a little gift for you as well and a certificate for you that we want to give you so that you can keep and remember this day in a very special way. So now, we didn't work out a particular order, but I have some little certificates and Bibles in the back here that Pastor John will help me to present at the time. So we're just going to go in the order that it says in these books. So Trina is up first. So
I'm really nervous. So I was brought up in a Christian home, so I was aware of God from as far back as I can remember, and I've considered myself a Christian for most of my life. There have been times when I've turned away from God, when it just seemed too hard to follow him. And in my teens, when I was taught about evolution, it seemed like it had been proved that God was just a figment of my imagination. And yet, he still worked in my heart, and I still believed. When you've felt him in your life, holding your hand through difficult times, it doesn't matter how much you're told it's your imagination, you know the truth. But still, it was in my 20s that I suddenly understood the grace of God. Before that, I could never understand how other Christians were so happy. I always felt bogged down by my sin and my inability to stop sinning, no matter how much I tried. Depression has been and still is a major problem for me, and it was when I was in a deep depression that I cried out to him. And although it was less of a prayer, more a list of complaints, he answered me, and he gave me the understanding of his grace. I am saved. I can sin every day, and I will, despite my best efforts not to, and he will still love me. He will still save me. And the sense of freedom this has given me is indescribable. My spiritual growth has continued over the years since then, and where I am today is directly related to the local KYB group. I joined them a few years ago, and their fellowship and support has been amazing. Through these people and studies, God has revealed himself to me and has worked on me spiritually. One of the studies we did was on Peter, and Acts chapter 2 verse 38 really spoke to me. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I felt convicted of the fact that I hadn't been baptized as a believer. But I'm a bit of a procrastinator and an introvert, so I didn't do anything about it. I just thought about it a bit and about how I wanted to be baptised. So God stepped in again. And I overheard Dorothy Neal, talking to someone else about the baptism classes that Nick was running. And so I spoke to her about it, and she gave me a copy of the bulletin and told me to call Nick. And I hadn't did the baptism classes, which were great. And at the same time, God put it into my heart to start attending this church regularly. And so more than 2 months on, here I am, ready to be baptised in the name of the Lord and take my place amongst his people in Tinkham Bay.
Thank you. Well done.
I tell you what, for a nervous lady, that was well spoken, wasn't it? Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. And we're going to just pray for Trine right now. And let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to bless you today. We want to thank you that we can be here together with Trine as a family. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for the mighty work that you've been doing in Trine's life. We thank you that you went to the cross, and that was not just for all of us, but it was also especially for Trine. We thank you that you rose from the dead, so that just like us, Trine also has the promise that you have placed inside of her your Holy Spirit, and that you will resurrect her to new life, to an eternal life that she has already begun, that she will spend forever with you in eternity. Jesus, we want to thank you for the example you gave us in the waters of baptism. And Father, we just want to thank you that you've brought Trine to this place today. We pray that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit, that you would release the gifting that you have placed in her, that you would continue to mature and to grow her as she reads from your word, that you would speak to her and mold her and make her to be more like Jesus. We pray that the fruit of the Holy Spirit will be evident in her life, and we pray that your power will overflow through her so that many others will come to know and to love Jesus through the life that she leads. Be with her today as we head down to Norman Point. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just mentioned this.
Well, we just so you know, guys, on behalf of the church, we have just given a nice slimline NLT version of the Bible to each of the candidates, and a lovely little certificate that you can keep and read with a good scripture verse on there as well, Trine. So I trust, as you saw in my Bible, that little piece of cardboard that's been there since 1981 when God blessed me, I trust that you'll have that in a special place as well. So, bless you and thank you. Give another clap, guys. Yep. Okay, Chloe, your turn. Just give her a clap, guys. Well done, Chloe. Says awkward on a t-shirt, but she's anything but awkward, I can tell you. Great girl.
She'll probably stand here so you can see me. growing up in a non-Christian family, I never knew God. I lived my childhood never knowing that he was there loving me through my mistakes and failures. I remember dancing around and singing Colin Buchanan songs in Sunday school, though I had no idea what I was doing. After that, my faith only grew. But I couldn't understand why I still wasn't going to heaven. I was well behaved, went to church, but it didn't work that way. One evening, at a Gympie combined youth service, my life changed. I no longer saw God as demanding and frightening, but as a loving, supportive father. I gave my life to Jesus, and it felt amazing. My life was different after that night. I did things differently to the way I used to. The difference was I was doing everything for God and not for myself. Now, as a Christian teenager, Jesus plays a big role in my life. He keeps me away from the negative things and helps me make good decisions. He is my teacher, my father, my best friend, and my saviour. Being baptised, I feel, is taking me one step closer toward completing what God has planned for me. Jesus has set me free, and for that, I've given him my heart.
We'll stay here, Chloe, and we're just going to pray for you. Pastor John, would you like to pray this time?
Father, we thank you for Chloe's testimony. We thank you, Lord, for just the evidence of your Spirit in her and around her life. We thank you for that moment where she did step out of the shadow of, the home that has been her sanctuary. And we thank you for Mike and Adriana. And we thank you for all that that they have done in bringing Chloe to this point. But we recognize, Lord, I guess above and beyond that, the work of your Spirit in her life. And thank you for that. And pray your continued outpouring of love and grace through her, that she might be a proclaimer of the truth and the grace of Jesus to her generation and impacting the generations to come. We pray this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well done, Chloe. Danny.
Hi, I'd like to say that I'm getting baptized through faith, faith in Jesus and faith in God. My parents never baptized or christened me as a child. They thought that was a decision I should make for myself as I grew older. I was saved in high school by Jesus at a Christian camp, and I came to know more about Jesus, but not as much as I could know. Then I became a member of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. That's how I met my neighbour Barry, who introduced me to this wonderful church and given me the privilege of being baptised here today. So thanks very much.
So let's pray for Barry. Huh? Heavenly Father, we just want to bless you today for the life of Danny. Lord, we thank you that in history you reached down and touched the heart of this man in a very special way, that you brought him into your eternal light. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that he stands here this morning completely surrendered to you and willing to follow you through the waters of baptism. Father, we pray that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit. You would release in him the gifting that you've placed upon his life, that he would continue to grow to be more like Jesus, that we would see the fruit of the Holy Spirit evident in his life, and we would see the transforming power of your touch just working in and through him as he ministers to others in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Josh was looking a tad nervous when he came in this morning, so the Holy Spirit will be with you, mate. And I'm sure you do a great job. Here you go.
Although I cannot remember the exact time or date I became a Christian, I know there was some time 3 years ago during our weekly youth group sessions. Through these youth group sessions, I gained understanding of what it meant to be a Christian and what it meant to have God a part of our lives. During these youth group sessions, I decided to accept Jesus as my Saviour and that I wanted God to become part of my life. To me, Jesus is my Saviour and friend, and through him, the Holy Spirit is my guide. I have decided to become baptised to demonstrate and symbolise my faith in God and my commitment to him.
Father, we really appreciate Josh. We thank you, Lord, for his honesty. We thank you for his genuine heart. Just reminded of what Jesus said about the man Nathaniel, in him I find no guile. And I just think about Josh when I think about that word, and in him is no guile. So we thank you for him. We pray, Lord, your continued outpouring of your Spirit upon him. We look forward to his further development into a man of God. We already appreciate who he is and what he's doing. And we see in that the light and the life of Jesus, and we give you thanks for that. In your name, amen.
I've always loved Jesus, and I've always known that Jesus loves me. The truth is that God has always been present in my life. No, being born into a Christian family didn't mean I was saved, but God has always been there and been a part of my life. I can't pinpoint an exact time or day that I made the decision for myself to follow Jesus. I don't know when it happened. One thing I do know, however, is that there is no doubt in my heart that I live for you, God.
Yeah.
You, God, are my best friend. You mean more to me than anything else. I love you, I need you, and I've chosen to follow you. I want to do everything I do to bring glory to you. And I want everybody to know that I belong to you. When I don't want this to be about me, I want it to be about you. And I think good I have or will do points to you and your son, Jesus. And when somebody looks at me, I don't want them to see me, I want them to see Jesus. And I'll take no pride in any of my own work, because it belongs to you and is therefore your work and not my own. And maybe I've said it before, but I just want everybody to know that I am yours, that I believe in you, and I trust in you, and I love you. And part of me wants to say sorry for all the times I've let you down. That kind of doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because I never held you up, and you always held me up. So thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, resurrecting me, and setting me free. And this is just another step on this journey that I want you to be a part of. And I just hope now everybody will see what you are doing for and within me.
We're just going to pray for you, Shan, okay? So, well done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just sense a real humility in that message there, Lord, that just indicates complete surrender to you. And Father, we just want to acknowledge that before you. We want to thank you for that that spirit of humility that you've given her in this. And Lord, want to thank you that Shannon has chosen to want to live for you every day. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the wonderful work that you've done in her heart and that you are continuing to do as you mold her and you make her to be more like Jesus. Father, we pray that you would continue to speak to her by your Spirit through your word. Continue to grow her and strengthen her and mature her so that the fruit of the Holy Spirit will be evident in her life. Father, we pray that you might fill her with your Holy Spirit to overflowing, that we might see your power working in and through her life, that the gifts and the talents that you've given her will be used for your glory as she has prayed. And Father, we just thank you and bless you in advance for the many wonderful ways that we will see that you will use Shannon Harries throughout her life for your glory. Amen.